Pastor Jim. I get to serve Jesus here. And I am looking forward to later on this afternoon when we are going to launch pumpkins. But I got some bottles out there for you. You asked for those last week. Take those with you. And we're going to have pumpkin bowling and pumpkin, what else? Horseshoes? Pumpkin croquet? Up at the Feather Farm. If you don't know where that is, ask Brett. He'll get you lost. So then come and ask me, and I'll get you there. But it's going to be a great day. I hope if you're able to make it, you will. The Steeler game's not till later. So you come on out and enjoy that together. Looking forward to continuing this month. We got Thanksgiving coming up. You know, that's my favorite holiday, Thanksgiving. Because I eat and I take a nap. Two of my favorite things to do, eat and take a nap. And so I'm looking forward to that. And then moving on, we're almost into Christmas already. Advent is almost on the way. And then it'll be a whole new year, 2020. And we'll continue on. I'm praying more and more. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Because my life needs Jesus. Your life needs Jesus. This world of ours needs to know that Jesus Christ is Lord. We need Jesus more and more in our world. And so I hope you're praying that with me. Come, Lord Jesus, that we will see his face as we go and do our work in our communities, as we strive to make our nation more and more a perfect union together. We are in an interesting portion of Scripture today, one that's been used in ways that are not good. And I think you'll see it when we bring it up today. 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, by its nature, tells us that there's a 1 Thessalonians. And these books tie together. I'll help to explain that as we get into this today. Hear these words. They are challenging. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning with verse 6. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers and sisters, to keep away from every believer who is idle and disruptive and does not live according to the teaching you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example, says Paul. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule: the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. They are not busy. I love this line. They are not busy. They are busybodies. Such a clever use of words. Such people we command and urge in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down, earn the food they eat. And as for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good. Jesus is the Word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Come, Holy Spirit, use this time to give the Word of Jesus Christ to your people who you have assembled together today to hear a word from you. Come, Lord Jesus, use this time. It's yours and not mine. May I fade away so that you and only you are glorified in this time. We pray this so that the Father is glorified in all that we say and do and think. In Jesus' name, amen. So, what's the controversial verse in all that? What's the one that gets used by politicians when they want to cut programs that help poor people? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. If you want to see an example of a verse being misused and used to cause harm to people, look no further than 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. The one who is unwilling to work, he shall not eat. Look that up on your phone, on your Google when you get home. Look it up on your computer. And some of the first things that you will see in your list of examples will be local congressman quotes Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, to cut off food stamps, to cut off aid to poor people, to get rid of SNAP, to get rid of some program where money is being used by the community to aid poor people. It will be misused in a way that causes harm to people. People who need the very programs that the people are trying to get rid of. Why? Why? Because it's easy to take one verse out of Scripture, get the scissors out, snip it, put it on a handy-dandy meme on Facebook, or to put it into the culture around us, and use that as example. This is what the Word of God says. Never mind, Jesus said, blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Never mind, Jesus said, give everything you have to the poor. Woe to the rich. Never mind that the book of Leviticus, the one that we use whenever we want to tell somebody that something that they're doing is wrong, has more to say about giving to the needy than any other book in the Bible. Followed by Deuteronomy, and then followed by Luke. But it's much easier to say, well, I don't like my money going to help people who aren't helping themselves, and therefore, right there in black and white, it says, if you do not work, you do not eat, therefore, cut off their aid. My wife hasn't worked in 8 years. No food for you. No food for you. Ryan may never be able to work and earn money. No food for him. Molly ain't quite earning her keep right now either. Cut her off. No food for her. I use these as facetious examples. Who would cut off aid to a handicapped child? You'd be surprised, wouldn't you? You know, well, now we're not surprised after 8 years of fighting. You know how much work Lori had to do to get a ride here to church? All that red tape she had to cut through? Who would cut off aid to a handicapped person? You'd be surprised. Because it says right there, black and white, you do not work, you do not eat. Cut them off. Cut them off. Forgetting that throughout all of Scripture, the word is give everything you have. If you're rich, you're in trouble. It's the poor. It's the poor that God says, don't cut your whole field and glean every last bit of it and put it all in the barns, but leave the scraps on the edges so that when the poor come through, they get to have some portion of that too. They did nothing to earn that. God says, give it to them. Why? What'd they do to earn it? Nothing. And that's the point, because every single one of us who sit here having earned absolutely nothing of the grace that Jesus Christ has given to us. Not a single thing we have done. In fact, we have done the opposite. When God says, do this, we say, that's great, and we do the opposite. We use the Ten Commandments as a list of how far can I go down the list until God doesn't love me anymore. We try to find ways to break God's law. And in the midst of that, at our very worst, when we have done nothing to earn it, that is when God has said, guess what? I'm giving you something that you had absolutely nothing to do with or earn. My grace given to you freely into your life at your worst possible moment. Why? Simply because I love you. And so when Jesus says, give to the poor, you're not doing that to make yourself feel good. We don't give the coats away to feel good about ourselves. We don't give away the stockings to feel good about ourselves. We give those things away because that shows the world who our God is. A God who gives to everyone, even the unjust, and gives it freely, unearned, unmerited. That's called grace. That's what we're all about. Without that, we have nothing. And so what's a verse like that doing in Scripture? What's a verse like that doing in Scripture? Well, to understand that, we have to understand 1 Thessalonians. Because 1 Thessalonians, Paul is dealing with a new community of believers. And he tells them, guys, you got to understand, Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming again, and when he does, he will set the whole world right. And some of the people in Thessalonica went, that's great! And if he's coming back, then there's no need for me to do anything else. So I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to quit working. I'm just going to sit here and wait for Jesus to come back. And so Paul has to write another letter, 2 Thessalonians, and say, no! Jesus is coming back, but not at a time that you'll expect. Probably at a time that's most inconvenient to you, to be quite honest. And so you need to keep on doing the work that you're doing. But I'm seeing, says Paul, in your church, that the very people who say, I am so righteous that I don't need to work, are the very people who begin to look around at the people who are working and begin to meddle. Begin to become busybodies. And the people who are doing the work are saying, boy, oh boy, I'd like to do my work, but I got so-and-so who keeps nagging me, who keeps telling me that everything I'm doing is wrong. We all know people like that in our lives. They're idle in their own life, and so there's nothing better to do than to begin looking at the lives of people around them. And begin telling them how to live their lives. Wonderful example from my work days. I had a wonderful driver named Ed. Ed was a curmudgeon. And Ed liked to sit around all day. Yeah, you know, these drivers. This is how Ed talked. Yeah, these drivers, they don't do anything around here. I'm the only one who works around here. Have his cigarette. And Ed I would be working very busily at my station making pizzas, and the phone would ring, and I would say, Ed, can you get that? Oh, sure, I'll get that for you. Michelli's, hold, please. Ed, can you help me make a pizza? Oh, sure. I got to go over here and make sure the oven is all tended to. Ed, there's nothing coming out of the oven. Something might come out of there. I got to be ready for it. You know, it's just always had something to say about other people, but his own life, his own work, had some poor qualities about it. God rest his soul. Now, Paul is writing to a church where this is the issue. Yeah, you know, you people, you're not praying the way that you should. You know, you're not reading your Bible enough. You know, all of the complaints about the people and the they're the ones who, well, what does the Bible say? I don't know. I have to look it up. Yeah, I don't know. So oftentimes it's the people who are idle, who are looking for something to do and begin to spread pretty much poison to the people around them, to the church around them. We all know somebody like that. Please don't point to them. Please don't point to them. But understand, when Paul writes this note to these people, he is looking to bring harmony to this community. When there are people who are not working in that community, and other people are, then jealousy begins to form, and harm begins to be done within a community. Still happens to this day. It's called the 80 or the 20-80 rule. The 20-80 rule. 20% of the people do 80% of the work. We still have things like that that go on. And I call it the 90-10 rule. 90% of the complaints come from 10% of the people. We all know these things go on in our lives. But what does Scripture say? Scripture says, look at your own life, not at somebody else's. Examine yourself. Don't take the time to examine the people around you. You use Scripture as a mirror, and you hold it up to yourself. And what does it say? Am I a busybody? Do I have more negative to say to people than positive? Am I allowing other people to do the work of the kingdom while I sit back and coast and wait for Jesus to come back? What does the Scripture say about the work that I need to do? What does Scripture say that I am not doing that I need to begin to do? And what am I doing that I need to stop? I can't solve that for you. You each one need to examine yourselves and figure out what it is that Scripture says to you. And you won't be able to just snip the parts out that you like. Allow the whole book, the whole thing, to work in your life. And see if you're not different after having examined yourself and allowing the Holy Spirit to challenge and test you. And maybe, just maybe, the world around you will begin to look a little brighter, because you'll know that God loves you, and so do I. Amen. Let's pray.